السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ أنس. السلام عليكم.
How are you? أمين أمين وإياكم.
الحمد لله.
How is home?
الحمد لله. الحمد لله.
Are we going with the class now?
نعم شيخ أنس.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ما بعد, we yesterday got into the chapter باب لا يصلح الكذب. The chapter regarding the inappropriateness of lying. Islam prohibits lying, and lying is inappropriate. In the Quran, Allah said, "Qutil al-kharrasu," or may death be the lot of those who are liars. Woe be to them. So liars are a curse in the Quran. Allah says, "Qutil al-kharrasu." Those who make up things, they make fabricated narrations and convey it to the people. So lying is basically a thing that has been prohibited in Islam. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, he said to us in the hadith that we read yesterday, it is wa iyyakum wal kadhib. The other thing I like to tell you about is iyyakum wal kadhib. I warn you regarding lying. I caution you, be careful about lying. Avoid lying. Said alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Because when a person lies, that causes him to become a wicked, sinful individual. When a person becomes lying, he's used to lying, his conversant with lying. Lying has become his lot. He becomes a wicked person and a sinful person because he soon trusts that his lies can bail him out of his sinfulness. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Lying causes the individual to become sinful and wicked. وَالْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. When a person is sinful and evil, يَهْدِيهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. His sinfulness and wickedness and evilness brings him into the fire. That's what Allah said to us, that وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. And those who are fujjar, wicked, sinful individuals, لَفِي جَحِيمٍ, they will certainly end up in Al-Jahim. And that is one of the names of the fire. Al-Jahim, the burning, flaming fire. May Allah protect each of us. So basically, Islam prohibits the individual from lying. It was our first lesson yesterday. And the lesson that followed it is the importance of being upon a seed, being honest. Honesty of Siddhu. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, alaykum bis Siddhu. Hold on to being honest. Stick to honesty. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa inna Siddhu yahdi ila al-birri. Because of Siddhu, being honest and truthful, yahdi ila al-birri, it will lead the individual to piety and righteousness. When a person has a siddq, and we mentioned in the class yesterday that a siddq would come from the mind. When you talk about the person's ikhlas, so you would say he has siddq niyyah. When the person has ikhlas,
His mind is clear. He is clear, straightforward, and truthful in his intention of his worship for Allah alone. The ulama, we say, he has sidqun niyya. He has genuine, true intentions. We also mentioned that as-sidqu would also come upon the tongue. That is the one we refer to as being truthful. The ulama will refer to that as sidqul lisan, the truthfulness that comes upon from the tongue. In his mind, he is sincere. Upon his tongue, he is truthful. And the third one is that that has to do with the rest of the limbs. The ulama will refer to that as as-sidqu fil ibadat wal mu'amalat. As-sidqu fil ibadat wal mu'amalat. So we will have sidqu niyya, we will have sidqu al-lisan, we'll also have as-sidqu fil ibadat wal mu'amalat. The individual becomes honest fil ibadat. So if he observes the salah, he observes the salah rightly and correctly. If he makes hajj, he makes the hajj with a sidq. He is honest with it. And he performs the hajj rightly. If he gives sadaqah, he gives it rightly. Whatever he does, he tries to do it properly as it should be done. Properly as it should be done. People, a lot of people, you will find them, they may be honest in their businesses, but they are not honest. They don't have a sidq in their ibadat. Many of the elite Muslims fall in this category. If you find him or her honest in his business or her business or in the place of work, he may be honest, she may be honest. You find that in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not honest. So they will observe the salah just as they like. They will observe Ramadan just as they desire. They will observe Umrah as they please. They will observe the Hajj as they feel. And the rest of that, this is from the aspects of being dishonest. When the person does not care about as-sidq fil ibadat. How about if the absence of as-sidq, honesty, is now even in the acts of worship? And then it comes also in the acts of business transactions and relationship with people. So for the sake of Allah, each of us go back to the drawing boards. Our honesty should be regarding our intentions. We must have sidqul niyya. We must have sidqul lisan. We must also have sidqul ibadat wal mu'amalat. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهَدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. When the individual is honest, it crosses him, it brings him, it leads him into piety and righteousness. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, إِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهَدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّ. When the individual is righteous and pious, that guides him into the paradise. And that is from what Allah said, that إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Those who are pious will, bi-idhnillah, be admitted into an-na'im, the place of everlasting enjoyment. Now, someone may ask, if I am a person of as-sidq, I'm a person of honesty in my intentions, if I'm a person of honesty in my speech, if I'm a person of honesty in my worship of Allah and in my dealings with people, what are the benefits that I will gain? I think we can quickly mention a few things about fadlu as-sidq, fadlu sidq, what the individual will benefit when he becomes honest. The first of it, and one of the most important of the benefits of being upon a sin, is that yuktabu inda
الله صديقا يكتب الصديق إن الله صديقا the one who is honest يكتب عند الله صديقا he will be documented with Allah as صديق إخوة this is a big virtue that you as an individual your name is Abdullah your name is Abdul Fattah you are Abdul Halim you are Muhammad you are Rashid you are Abdul Razak these are your names and then in addition to that is that with your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are written down as Siddiq someone who is honest is this not a good enough value, virtue, for each of us to struggle to be from Siddiqun? Is this not a thing to sit down and plan how to learn to become a Siddiq, a Sadiq? Did we not sit down because of this value? Someone asks you, why are you trying to be honest in everything you do? Is it not sufficient a response that I want to be written down with Allah as Siddiq, is it not good enough virtue? From the virtues of being Siddiq is that Allah said to us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, after he said, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ O Isa ibn Maryam, are you the one who has commanded people to take you and your mother as lords besides Allah? If we go to that portion in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in the last portions of that surah, one of the things Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah is that Allahu hadha yawmun yanfa'u as-sadiqina sidquhum yawmu yanfa'u as-sadiqina sidquhum today يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُ The people of truthfulness, the honest ones, يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُ Honesty will benefit the people of honesty. Honesty will benefit the honest. If you are honest, people will say, what will you gain? What will you gain? Say to them, يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُ Allah will bring the benefits of Asid. Asidku will be of benefit to Asadiqi. Allah says, Yanfa'u Asadiqina Asidku. The people of honesty, the honest ones, honesty will be a thing of benefit to them on the day of Qiyamah. This is Lahum Jannatun Tajri Min Tahtiha Al-Anhar Khalidina Fiha Abada. Allah says, theirs on the day of Qiyamah, lahum, the deserving benefit they will gain for their sidq on the day of Qiyamah is Jannat, the gardens, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, under which rivers flow, khalidina fiha abada. They will be inside this al-Jannah forever. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ That is indeed a huge, magnificent thing of success. What is it that has brought them that success? As-sidku, honesty. As-sidku, honesty. That's the second virtue of being honest. So someone asks you, hey, what do you want to gain being a honest, being a sadiq? What do you want to gain? You say, Allah says, in the day of Qiyamah, The people of honesty will gain benefit from their honesty. Honesty will bring benefit to the honest ones on the day of Qiyamah. A third virtue of honesty is that Musahabatul Akhyar As-Sadiqi Musahabatul Akhyar As-Sadiqi The righteous chosen ones will be your friends. If you are a honest person, people who love honesty and desire honesty are those who would like to be with you. if you look at it properly, evil people don't like to be with honest people. People who are traitors, people who are deceptive. If they come near the honest people, they know in their hearts that these are not our friends. We are just with them because perhaps we want to gain something from them, or we want to use them for certain ends. This is how those, the people of treachery and deceit, the people of evil and sinfulness, when they come near a person who is honest in his being, they know that they only want to either benefit from them and give them away, or that they want to employ them for certain benefits. But they will know that they are not friends. These are not our friends. In the deepest part of their minds, they will know that these people, they are not our friends. But as for those who are truly honest, they like to be the friends of those who are also honest. If you find a honest person, he likes to be with the honest people. Also because Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, taqullaha wa kunu ma'a sadiqin. O you who believe, ittaqullaha. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqin. And be sure that you keep the company of those who are siddiqun, who are sadiqin. The siddiqun are the sadiqun whose siddiq, whose honesty is to the highest level of honesty. They are those that are referred to as siddiqun. As for as sadiqun, they are those who are also honest and working upon being better upon honesty. These people are referred to as sadiqun. But as for those who are siddiqun, it is intense. It is lil mubalagha. They are absolutely very, very honest. So you see them flocking together. Those who are honest, one of the things they gain is that their friends, those who really make them friends, will be those who are also honest. A fourth benefit of honesty is that in the sidqa, yunsu sakinata fil qalb. In the sidqa, yunsu sakinata fil qalb. Wa yanti anhu taradduda wa raybata wal ihtirab. Ulama say in the sidqa, when you are honest, honesty, it brings about tranquility. Honest people are calm. Honest people do not go for tamperance. They do not go for tamperance. What rather? Honesty takes away doubts from them. Takes away doubts. Well, it's wrong. It also takes away not being steady upon anything. When you are honest, you don't go for them backwards. You don't have doubts about everything you do. And then you are a calm person. You don't have the tirab. The tirab is when the individual is not steady upon anything. He's there, he's airy. One of the things that bring about that condition with people is that they are not city food. They are not solid food. So these are virtues, benefits we gain if we learn this character of Asid. We have to be sure that our intentions regarding everything we do, those intentions are clear. When we speak, we are clear. When we act, we are acting upon rightness and upon goodness. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from Siddi good. And the person will continue to struggle upon Asiddi. And like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, hatta yuktaba inda Allahi siddiqa, continues to struggle upon being honest, hatta yuktaba inda Allahi siddiqa, until he becomes written down with Allah as the person of truthfulness. Before we move to the next tab, I like to mention two quick points. The first point I like to mention is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, like he did when he told us about the permissibility of keeping birds in cages, he mentioned the story of Abu Umayyah, Ma fa'ala an-Nubayy, that story with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the story where Abu Umayyah, the younger brother of Anas ibn Malik, used to play with a bird called Nubayy. And then we would understand from that that boy had a cage that he kept the bird and he played with. But the major point of reference was that narration from Hisham ibn Urwah. I'm now talking about narration number 383, where Hisham ibn Urwah stated that the companions, radiallahu anhu, they used to go about with birds in cages. So the same way we'll see here, this hadith on As-Sidq was reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It was reported from him by Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq. It was reported from him by Sufyan, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and others amongst the companions who have reported this. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu too will say, لا يصلح الكذب في جد ولا هزلين. Lying is not appropriate. في جد, whether you are in the condition of seriousness, ولا هزلين, or you are in the condition of joke. So you would see that the manhaj is salafi, the way, the methodology of the companions regarding this matter is that don't tell a lie at all. Don't be a liar. The manhaj is salafi, the way of the salaf, the way of the companions, radiallahu anhu, is that the Muslim should not be a liar. If we remember that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, as one of those who reported this narration, said to us that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq stood up on the mimbar to tell the people, to teach them about as-sidq. So that is what we must understand. The way of the companions, radiallahu anhum, as they were taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is that as-sidq is very important, and that al-kazib is something we must keep away from. So keep away from lying. O Salafi, don't lie. Be a honest person. Honesty is from the manhaj of Salafi, from the manhaj of the Salaf, rahimahumullah, our companions, those who came before us in this day, from their manhaj, from their lines of conduct, from their methodology, is that they were very, very honest people and they kept away from lying. From the manhaj of the Salaf, is that the Salaf were very, very honest people. They were people of as-sidq, and they kept away from lying. And terrible lying was one thing they kept away from. And like we said to us, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was saying that lying, la yaslahu al-kadhib, don't ever lie. Lying is not appropriate. Jiddin wala hazlin, whether you are serious or whether you are joking, don't tell a lie. So don't tell a lie to act a movie. Don't tell a lie to entertain the people. Don't tell a lie to do a skit. Yesterday or a few days ago, I saw a video that went around. A brother was doing a telephone conversation to say he wants to get married. He's talking to the sister that he wants to marry. And then the other one was saying, I have invited some people in Asalatu. I've invited 500 people. These kinds of things are lies. We should stop to propagate our religion upon lies. Lies look incredible. Fi jiddin wala hazlin. Lying is not appropriate. Fi jiddin, whether you are upon a seriousness, wala hazlin, or you're upon a joke, don't lie. Don't lie upon a joke. Don't lie upon a play. Don't lie. Stop lying. And don't think that you would propagate this religion upon lying. So these are the problems, people who act things and videos in the name of Islam. These are problems they will grapple with. The entirety of the film industry is based upon a lie. Somebody, Zainab, you refer to her as Ruqayya in the film. That's a lie. Someone is asking a woman, I want to get married. How many people have you invited? She says, oh no, I have invited a salat of people. That's most probably a lie. You have not invited anybody. You are most likely not going to get married to that person you are calling over the telephone. Stop lying. Don't say you want to explain a hadith. And the basis for your explaining that hadith is a lie. Let us stop lying. The way the manhaj salafi is that lying, la yasluhul kazibu fi jiddin wala haslim. Lying is not appropriate. Lying is wrong. It's not acceptable in our religion. Fi jiddin, whether you are upon a seriousness, wala haslim, or you're upon a joke. And that's even going to refer to when parents tell their children, come and take, and there is nothing they want to give the child to take. Even to that extent, Islam prohibits lying. So let us understand from the manhaj of the Salaf, from the manhaj of the companions, from the lines of conduct of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, is that la yasluhul kazibu fil jiddi aw fi jiddin wala haslin. Lying is not acceptable, whether it's upon jidd, a seriousness, or hazl, or a joke. Let us not entertain or accommodate lying. I think it will suffice for us to move to the next hadith, and that is under the chapter Babun Alladhi Yasbiru Ala Adhan Nas. Babu Alladhi Yasbiru Ala Adhan Nas. The chapter regarding the individual who is patient, who is pardoning. Ala Adhan Nas. He is patient over Adhan Nas, the harm, the hardship that people bring to him. He is patient to write. He is in a relationship, he is in a dealing with his people, his brother, his sister, his aunt, his uncle, his friends, his neighbors, his children. They bring harm, they cause him harm and worry, yet he bears them patiently. This is what value does Islam bring into this for a person to be. So the chapter is about Alladhi yasbiru ala adhan nas, the one who is patient over inconveniences that people bring to him. That comes under Hadith 388 by Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And he said, Rahimahullah, in it, Haddathana Adam, Qala Haddathana Shu'bah, عن الأعمش عن يحيى ابن وثاب عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال المؤمن الذي يخالف الناس ويصبر على أذاهم خير من الذي لا يخالف الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. المؤمن الذي يخالف الناس ويصبر على أذاه خير من الذي لا يخالف الناس ولا يصبر على أذاه. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله in this book الأدب المفرد حديث 388 he brings this report from his Sheikh Adam, and that is الإمام Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Adam ibn Abi Iyas was from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And he is reporting from Al-Imam Shu'bah, that is Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Abu Bistam. And he is reporting from Al-A'mash, Al-Imam al-A'mash, that's Al-Imam Abu Muhammad Sulaiman ibn Mihran. If I'm not mistaken, the last number number of ahadith have been the ahadith from Al-A'mash, from hadith 386, hadith 387, and now hadith 388 have been reported by this Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran, Abu Muhammad Al-A'mash, rahimahullah. Here he is reporting from his Shaykh Yahya ibn Wassab. Yahya ibn Wassab was a well-known scholar of Qira'atul Qur'an. He was a well-known scholar of Qira'atul Qur'an. And like his student Al-A'mash, because Al-Imam Al-A'mash was also a scholar of Qira'at, the sciences of reciting the Qur'an. And once, when Al-A'mash spoke about his teacher, he said, rahimahullah, Yahya ibn Wattab, أَقْرَأُ مَنْ بَالَ عَلَى التُّرَبِ. Yahya ibn Wattab, أَقْرَأُ مَنْ بَالَ عَلَى التُّرَبِ. The most, the best in the recitation of the Qur'an from amongst the human beings, whoever urinated on the earth, was Yahya ibn Wassab. What he meant was that in his time, no one urinated on the earth except that Yahya ibn Wassab read the Quran better than him, meaning that the best of the reciters in their time was Yahya ibn Wassab. And when Al-Imam ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, spoke about Yahya ibn Wassab, he said he was Thiqatun Abidun. Thiqatun Abidun. He was a reliable reporter of hadith. Wakana Abida. And he was an ardent worshipper. We'll see worship recurring as an attribute of the early Muslims. That is from the manhaj al-Salafi, from the manhaj, what the lines of conduct that the early Muslims were upon is that they were people who were full of worship. They were people who were full of worship. They observed their salawat in jama'ah. They made nawafil. They made adhkar. Their qiyamul layl was appropriate. In Ramadan, their fasting was sound. They made late night prayers. They gave sadaqat. They abstained from sins. And for as much as Allah wills, they obeyed Allah's instructions. Followed the Sunnah of Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Fakanu abidi. So they were full of worship. So ibadah is from the manhaj of the Salaf, from the way of life, from the lines of conduct of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the head of them, and the companions radiallahu anhum, and those وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and those who followed upon the lines of conduct of the companions, their manhaj, their lines of conduct, the path that they followed, the way of life that they employed, was that it was one of ibadah. They were full of worship. So Yahya ibn Wassab, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, said, أَنَا ثِقَةً عَابِدًا. He was a reliable reporter of hadith. وَكَانَ عَابِدًا. He was full of worship, rahimahullah. And he was from amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, and Huma ibn Umar, Abu al-Rahman al-Adawi, radiallahu anhu. We know that he was the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. He was reporting this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalifu an-nas wa yasbiru ala adhaahum khayrun min alladhi la yukhalifu an-nas wa la yasbiru ala adhaahum. Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalifu an-nas, al-mu'min, the person of Iman, in some reports it says al-Muslim. So what it means is that al-Mu'min is the Muslim, the one who yu'min billahi wa rasulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadari wa hakadha. He believes in these foundations of Iman and other things of Iman. He has physically the Muslim. What we are talking about is concerning every Muslim. فالمسلم الذي يخالط الناس. Therefore, the Muslim الذي يخالط الناس, who mixes with the people. He relates to the rest of the people. The Muslim who has a wife, he relates with her. The Muslim who has children, he relates with them. He has neighbors, he relates with them. He has people who are his bosses in the places of work, and he has subordinates in his place of work. He has people he relates with, uncles, brothers, friends, relatives. He lives in their middle, and he is with them. He impacts them positively. He tells them to do what is good. He shakes them. He smiles to them. He gives them sadaqah. He takes sadaqah from them. And all of this, yukhalitun nas, he mixes up with the people. He relates to the rest of the people. And then, wa yasbiru ala azab. One absolute thing we all must bear in mind when we relate with people is that sometimes there will be azab. There will be things we don't like. Makruhat. You would not like them. And it will happen between yourself and those people you relate with. We mentioned a man relating with his wife. Yes, it will happen. The man will offend the woman, and the woman will offend the man. Between yourself and your children, yes, there will be issues. Between the children and themselves, yes, sometimes there will be issues. Between yourself and your brother, there will be issues. Between yourself and your sister, there will be issues. Between yourself and your neighbors, there will be issues. Between yourself and your boss, there will be issues. Between yourself and your subsidiaries, there will be issues. Between yourself and your driver, and so on and so forth. Lakin yasbiru ala azab. But this Muslim who relates with the people, yasbiru ala azab, he bears patiently the other, the things that he does not like, that be direct to him. What he does not like that his brother said to him, he bears it. His uncle says to him, he bears it. His mother says to him, he bears it. His wife says to him, he bears it. Let us not think that this thing is as easy as we have said it. Sometimes, wallahi, it will be very, very, very difficult. It will be very difficult. It is not as easy as we say. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu nas, the person of Iman who relates with the rest of the people, wa yasbiru ala azab. Then when he finds something displeasing from them, yasbiru, he becomes patient. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayrun min alladhi la yukhalitu nas wa la yasbiru ala azab. The one who mixes up with them and is patient over the heart, he directs toward him, qayrun, he is a better person. Why? He shakes them against reward. He smiles to their faces against reward. He gives them sadaqah against reward. He gives them nasiha against reward. They also give him nasiha. You asiru bihim wa yata'atharu bihim. He, this Muslim who mixes with the rest of the people, you asiru bihim, creates positive impacts in his brothers. So he gains a lot of reward. So he'll be better than the one who is just alone. His knowledge is with him alone. His wealth is with him alone. His goodness is with him alone. For the other one, he gives good and he takes goodness. He gives good, he hands out goodness, whether goodness in speech, whether goodness in action, even good intentions. This one comes in between people when they relate.
from that is loving your brother for the sake of Allah. You love him, he does something, you say, mashallah, his brother has done something good. You find this a lot when you live with people. So in all of this goodness, he brings benefit to the people and he takes benefit from the people. For who are khayrun. The ulama say he is afdalu halan wa a'azamu hajra. Afdalu halan wa a'azamu ajra. His condition is better. He gives good and he takes good. He makes his suffer the people. And then when negative things, when evil things, harm, hurt, harm, purchasing from those people, yes, so he's also gaining from that. He's gaining from his patience over things that happen to him from his brothers. He's patient. That is also goodness for him. He gains goodness from them. He directs goodness to them. And then he's patient over the negative things that they direct. So he gains in all of these conditions. So he is better than the one who la yukhalif an-nas, who will not relate to the rest of the people, wala yasbiru ala adha. He doesn't even have any heart to bear, to be patient over from them. Why? He has not even mixed with them at all. This ikhwa, there's this basic message in this hadith. That basic message is that as long as you relate with people, be ready for things that you don't like. As long as you relate with people, as long as you want to marry, as long as you want to have children, as long as you have parents, as long as you have an uncle, as long as you have aunts, you have a neighbor, you must be ready. Things will come from them that you don't like. As long as you have colleagues in the places of work, as long as you have colleagues in your classroom, you have fellow students in school, you have fellow teachers in school, you relate with people, there is no way they will direct things to you sometimes that you don't like. But we must all be ready to be patient over the hardship that we face from the people that we relate with. These things are very, very difficult. But like we said, we all must sit down and try to learn them. These days, you hear a brother or a sister will say, I want to sit down to evaluate myself and get myself a better person. These are things that we have to pay attention to if you make self-evaluation and self-correction. You want to correct yourself. Sit down. Think about honesty. Think about al-hadith. Where are you between these two? The Messenger alayhi salatu salam said to us that the individual will be so truthful and truthful and truthful. Hatta yuktaba inda Allahi siddiq. And then he'll be documented with Allah as siddiq. Likewise, the individual will lie to the book. Hatta yuktaba inda Allahi kazaba. So think about it. Where do you belong to? Are you written down with Allah as a liar? If that is the case, then repent, make tawbah. And Allah will accept your tawbah. Never go back to lying. So these are things you should consider when you make self-appraisal. Likewise, the issue of bearing hurt from people and being patient over hardship that they bring to you. Are you this kind of a person? You also relate to people. When you relate to people, what do you bring to them? Are you a means of goodness to people or are you a means of sadness to them? We all know how we handle ourselves. Are you a means of goodness to the people or are you a means of evil to them? Each time they remember you, they feel like cursing you. Is this how you are to people? Is this how you are to your husband? Your husband thinks of you and feels like cursing you. Or your wife thinks of you and she feels like this man has no good in him. Genuinely. So who are you? What are you? How are you as a child? How are you as a child to your parents? How are you as a child to you? As a relative? your uncles? How are you to them? Your aunts, your brothers, your neighbors, people you work with, you tolerate their excesses. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu nasa wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min alladhi la yukhalitu nas wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. The Muslim who relates to the rest of the people, wa yasbiru ala adhahum, and he is patient over the hardship that they bring to him and hurt. Khayrun min alladhi. This Muslim is better than the other Muslim. What does he do? La yukhalitu nas. He does not relate to the rest of the people. Wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. If perchance anyone directs thoughts to him, la yasbiru alayha, he will not be patient over that thought. Is this the kind of Muslim that you are? For the sake of Allah, each of us should go back to the drawing boards regarding these matters that we are addressing. We are addressing the matters of honesty, the issue of telling lies, for whatever reason, don't tell a lie. Except for those exceptions that the Sharia has given, and they are just three. When you reconcile between two feuding parties among the Muslims, or in the discussions between a man and his wife, or during war, these are the circumstances that a Muslim is allowed to tell a lie, even though to make a tawriya is better. Let us not forget these matters. And from that is that we should relate to the people, extend goodness to them. One of the best dua that I have ever heard was, I think, in 2019 or 2018. We were in Tawaf that year. One man behind me, this man was very knowledgeable. The way he looked and the way he spoke, he did not speak like someone who is not a learned person. But you know, in Ihram, every person looks like the other person. Ihram is a leveler. We call it like that. That day, that man was in Tawaf and he was making this dua. Allahumma ij'alni miftah al-khayri linnas. Oh Allah, make me a means of goodness, the key of goodness to people. Say, subhanallah. Many of the rest of us, we are thinking, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. We are not saying Rabbana atina, it's not correct. But this, perhaps this man is still struggling regarding this matter, or that he wants to get to the height of it. He says, Allahumma ij'alni miftah al-khayri linnas. Oh Allah, make me the key of goodness to people. And don't make me miftah al-sharri lahum. Wala taj'alni miftah al-sharri lahum. Don't make me the person that once they meet him, then evil descends on them. Don't make me a means of evil to the people. Make me a means of good to the people. Don't make me a means of evil to the people. This kind of dua will take meaning and essence from this hadith that we have read today. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu nas wa yasbiru ala adahum khayrun min alladhi la yukhalitu nas wa la yasbiru ala adahum. The person of iman, alladhi yukhalitu nas, who relates to the rest of the people, wa yasbiru ala adahum, and when they direct thoughts towards him, the spirit, he is patient, he is tolerant. Khayrun. This makes us understand that this status is the status of eminent noble people in the community. Eminent noble people in the community, they bring goodness to people and they take away evil from people. And when thought is directed towards them, sabaru, they are patient. So these kinds of people, khayrun min alladhi, they are better than those sets of people who la yukhalitun an-nas, they will not relate to the rest of the people, wa la yasbiruna ala adahum, and they will not be patient and tolerant
over the hearts that people bring to them. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for myself and for the rest of us. I think we can stop here, Abu Amir, so that we can entertain a number of questions more than we did yesterday. Abu Amir.
نعم شيخنا جزاك الله خير.
آمين آمين.
نعم. A couple of questions here asking about fictional books or and novels, or when they ask kids in schools to write about maybe their journeys to places they've never been.
What we will advise teachers here is don't tell them to write something that's just entirely imaginary. Don't avoid it as much as possible. Avoid it as much as possible. You tell him to tell you a trip to Mecca, and the man has not been to Mecca. So I tell him to tell you how his trip was to Mecca. There are young boys in Allah. I remember that sometime in September last year, we made Umrah. And we met some young boys, two young boys. They still remember that Umrah each time I meet any of them. He still talks about it. They really, really enjoy it. So if you ask that one, write to me your experience at Umrah. Yes, you are right. Because he had actually performed Umrah. If it was a boy who, for example, came from Lagos to Ibadan, resided in Ibadan for some time and returns to Lagos, you can tell us your experience when you resided in Ibadan, what I liked best in Ibadan, and he will tell you. So from then we begin to teach the children how not to know other than telling the truth. We don't know any other than telling the truth. So for the sake of Allah, let us avoid them. The same thing will come on to fiction. From the beginning of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that kafa lil mar'i ithman an yuhaddisa bi kulli ma sami'a. It is sufficient for an individual as a sin. It is sufficient sin for an individual. Why? Everything he hears, he talks about. Everything he hears, he conveys it, he transmits it. This is a disease in our own time. Tayyib. He heard something, whether it has happened or not, he conveys it. How about the ones that he is sure that they are lies, such as fictions? How about those ones? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considers and places rules over the one who hears something, he is not sure whether it is true or not, and then he goes about publicizing it. He is not sure, true or false. He goes on to publicize it. How about the one that you are sure that these ones are lies? How about those ones? Which one is worse? You are not sure whether it's a lie. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, kafa lil mar'i ithman. It's sufficient lie. It's sufficient sin for you. Okay. How about the one that you are sure that these are lies? They are concoctions. They are fabrications. And we read a number of ahadith here. La yasluhu al-kazib. Lies are inappropriate. If you describe something, something is false, say it is false. Some people say, yes, fictions are not lies. What are they? If fictions are not lies, what are they? In fact, if you go to check one of the synonyms for fictions, I'm sure lies will be there. If anyone quickly checks the synonyms of fictions, I'm sure one of the words that you will find is what? Fabrications, fables, excogitation, things that are not true, fictions, fictive. These are lies. So they are based on mere imaginations. They are not facts. So for the sake of Allah, let us avoid these things as much as possible. Our time is already full of lies and deceptions. We live in a time that's already full of lies and deceptions. So as much as possible, we should gradually continue to reduce the entirety of the entertainment industry is based on lies and fictions. Unfortunately, people want to live their lives. Many women now want to live the kind of lives they see on the TV, in films and in comedies. Many women, this is what they look up onto in marriage. They want to have a husband who can provide all those things they see in the news or in the entertainment industry. So for the sake of Allah, this is not the appropriate way to live. For the sake of Allah, our time is already full of lies and conjectures. So as Muslims, we must try to reduce these things as much as possible. The entertainment industry, everything about it are lies. Everything about the entertainment industry. And in the political atmosphere, over 95% of what you find in that atmosphere are no other than lies and conjectures. So for the sake of Allah, let us try as Muslims to reduce the margin as much as possible in our homes. Let us try to be honest in our dealings with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors. Be honest in your speech. Be honest in your actions. And let the things you have in mind, let them be clear and good. Have good things in the mind. The generation is already full of lies. The entirety, like I say, the entirety of the entertainment industry is based upon lies. And here we are. Our deen says, liars look heavy. Lies are not appropriate. Whether in the circumstances of seriousness, wala hazlin, whether in the circumstances of a joke and play. So jokes and play now are the institutionalized lies and conjectures in our own times. I think it is something that we should go back. If you want to tell children stories, there are a lot of stories in the Quran. There are a lot of stories in the books of Hadith. The entirety of the life of the Ummah, right from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, are full of narrations to tell to people. The Prophet did this, the Prophet did that, the companions did this, Abu Bakr did it. Each of the companions have lives. And there are a lot of books that have been documented regarding these issues. We should go back to them so that these are the narrations that our children tell to themselves as stories. Unfortunately, we set all these things aside and then we begin to concoct lies. We concoct lies, concoct conjectures. And it is with these lies and conjectures we think that we want to propagate Islam in our own times. How can truth be propagated with a lie? In Islam, it's not just about the end. Both the means and the end are necessary. They must be right. You can't steal money to come for Hajj. That money with which you come for Hajj must be lawful, just as the Hajj that you're coming to observe. You can't impregnate a woman to have a wife. You must, the means itself must be right. Nikah, valid marriage. And then you keep your wife at home. So both the means and the end are important in Islam. They must be lawful. The end does not justify the means. Just like the people who had World Hijab Day. The hijab was instituted to keep the woman at home, to preserve her, make her a person of honor, and protect and cover her beauty and ornamentation away from public glare. When people want to celebrate hijab, these are the first things that they destroy. They bring the hijab woman outside in the public. The hijab is supposed to conceal. They celebrate the hijab and bring the hijab out. They bring the woman out of her hijab by way of celebrating the hijab. These are lies and conjectures. Hijab Day just started 2013. So how does it become a part of our religion? For the sake of Allah, let us go back and reduce. The generation is already full of conjectures and falsities, make beliefs. So let us go back. Teach your children correct things, things that are true. Even today, the life of people like Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, the life of Al-Imam al-Albani, the life of Sheikh ibn al-Husaynin, the lives of even other Muslims or even other non-Muslims.
the true life. What happened to them? They are sufficient for us. The ulama, the scholars of hadith would say, "Is sahih ma yughni ani da'if." Is sahih ma yughni ani da'if. Those are hadith that are sahiha. We have sufficient message. We have sufficient guidance in them. So we don't need something that is da'if. How about something that is fabricated and mawdu'? So for the sake of Allah, let us readdress how we educate ourselves and how we educate our children. Real life stories are many in Islam. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, he has documented Tariq al-Islam, talking about the eminent scholars of Islam in 25 big volumes. There is no one of those volumes that stops at 500 pages. From 25 volumes, the least is you find about 600, 650 pages. Big volumes, Tariq al-Islam, with the tahqiq of Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf. We also have Siyar al-Alam al-Nubala, by Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, in 28 volumes. We have Al-Bidayatu wal-Nihaya, long ago, by Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, in over 12 to 13 volumes, according to print. So in our religion, it's a religion that has a lot of information, a lot of documentation of history and facts already. So what are we wasting our time with fictions and conjectures in the name of trying to propagate our religion? I hope that this point is clear, Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair.
Next question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah accept your deeds and reward you abundantly, Ya Shaykh. What do we do if we find tahajjud and praying at its earliest time difficult?
The time for tahajjud is from after Salatul Maghrib. Sorry, after Salatul Isha. The time for Qiyamul Layl or tahajjud or witr. All of these names refer to one single thing. Witr, Qiyamul Layl, tahajjud, Taraweeh, they all refer to one thing. It starts from after Salatul Isha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Abu Huraira. He also encouraged Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari. He also encouraged Abu Darda to observe their witr in the night before they sleep. So it is allowed from after Salatul Isha. And that's why in Ramadan, after Isha, we start our Taraweeh. That Taraweeh is also witr. So it is allowed from after Isha. The end time for it is shortly before, just before dawn, before Tulu al-Fajr. Any time between Tulu al-Fajr and Isha, and after Isha, it is allowed to make our witr. So you can sleep at the early part of the night and wake up in the middle of the night to observe it. You can observe it at any point in time between Isha and shortly before the time for Salatul Fajr. And the best time to observe it is the last third part of the night. The last third part of the night. You divide the night from Maghrib to Fajr. If you want to divide the night, you divide the night from Maghrib to Fajr, and you divide it into three. The last third is the best time, inshallah, to observe Qiyamul Layl. So you can observe it at any point, immediately after Isha, or even shortly before you observe Salatul Fajr. Is this the answer, Abu Amir, if I understood the question?
I think the person was asking, what do we do if we find praying tahajjud difficult and also praying the obligatory prayers at its earliest time? We find it difficult praying at their earliest time.
Okay, observe here, observe your tahajjud immediately after Salatul Isha. Once you finish Isha, make your witr. Once you finish Isha, before you go to bed, immediately after Isha, make your witr. If you find observing the obligatory salawat difficult, if it is because of your locality, change location to a place that is near a masjid. It is one of the ways to bring up yourself and your children. Change your location, go to a place that is near to a masjid, so that when the azan is called, it will help you stand up and go for salah. from the things you need also to help you about observing Salah at the right time is having pious, good friends who will remind you, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdul Rahman, let us go for Salat al-Zuhr, or let us go for Salat al-Asr. They will remind you upon goodness. You should also have a wife that is a righteous person, who even when you want to feel lazy, she will say, oh, Abu, oh yeah, Salah, 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 Salah. Then he will stand you up and encourage you to go for Salah. Keep a company of people who pray regularly at its time. Allah will use it as it means to guide you to that. And then sincerely make dua to Allah. Make dua to Allah sincerely to guide you and make it easy for you to be from amongst the best of those who worship Him. Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. And this is a very, very good question, because one of the things for which the people were punished in the fire is that they did not cease to observe Salat in Jama'ah. You remember in Al-Muddathir, when the people of the fire will be asked by the people of Al-Jannah, Ma salatakum fi safar? What is the first answer? Qalu lam naku min al-musallim. They will answer that we did not cease to observe Salat in Jama'ah with those who observe the Salah. For the sake of Allah, it's an important matter. May Allah help this brother or this sister to be from those who will observe Salah at its best time. Naam, Aba Amin.
Salawatullahi alaykum, Shaykh.
Ameen, ameen, wa iya.
This one reads, please, can a female remove her jilbab and wear a small hijab and long skirt if she gets a job, and it's the kind of job, it's a dirty job and would be easy for her to wear the jilbab, which is the reason why she's not allowed to wear the jilbab to do such work. Is this permissible?
The jilbab is being commanded by Allah in the Quran. The jilbab has been commanded by Allah in the Quran. And she should not leave Allah's command because of a job. Look for the job that suits your jilbab. If they ask you in that job that you always have to remove your head from your shoulders to work on the job, will you take the job? You say, no, that is a job that will take my life. How about the job that will take the essence of your life? And a major essence of life for a Muslim woman is a hijab. It's as important as her life. The hijab of the Muslim woman, her jilbab, is as important as the life of the Muslim woman. So for the sake of Allah, wear your jilbab. Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kull azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin, yudanina alayhihinna min jalabibihinna. Thalika adna an yu'rafna fala yu'ubayn. Kanallahu wa kura rahim. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, amarallahu nisa' al-mu'minin. This is a command for the Muslim women. So if you go out, you must be on jilbab. So don't say you want to manage it, you want to wear it down, you want to wear a scarf. All those things are things that we are conjecturing, we are putting together by ourselves. So for the sake of Allah, I encourage the woman to look for a better job that will not require her to remove her jilbab. One of the conditions for a woman to leave her home is that she must be in jilbab. Without jilbab, she can't even go out of the house. Not to say start working somewhere. Something without which you can't go out of the house. Why should it be the same thing you compromise to be able to walk out of the house? For the sake of Allah, look for a better thing. And any person who leaves something for the sake of Allah, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will replace for him or her with something better than that. That job that requires you to leave off your jilbab, leave that job, and Allah will bring you a job that is better than it. If you believe in Allah, wallahi, Allah will bring you a job that is better than the one where to which you have to remove your jilbab before you go. May Allah protect you and everyone.
Ameen.
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 Ameen wa iyyakum Abu Amir. Can we stop here? We spent the time.
No, I'm just going to do that.
عليه وعليكم في الجزاء الله خير. آمين وإياكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.